experience. But prayer is one of those activities that we're, as Christians, all supposed to do, isn't it? It's one of those things we do as Christians that help connect us to God, which too often, if we're honest with ourselves, is simply a time when we air our dirty laundry and a list of disappointments or requests to God. That makes up our prayer time. But prayer is a very broad topic that seems like a mystery to many. And most of us probably feel it's an activity that we somehow just don't engage enough in. The writers who wrote specifically about Jesus' life all note that he was a man of prayer. Often going off alone, sometimes early in the morning, sometimes late at night, sometimes throughout the whole night, Jesus would be in prayer, speaking to his Father in heaven. It seemed that his ability to do the miraculous was tied directly in to his prayer life. Luke writes that the disciples who had been with Jesus for some time approached Jesus after he had spent one of those times in prayer, and they asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Matthew has Jesus teaching about a number of topics, of which one is prayer. But when it comes down to it, there are two things about prayer that I know. First, prayer was the lifeblood of Jesus' relationship with God. Prayer is what allowed Jesus to do the miraculous things that he did and had the power to do it. The second thing I know is I need to continue to understand and develop my prayer life and my practice of prayer. You see, I had begun attending church after college and had started working full time. It was an evening. Jim and I had gone out to dinner a Sunday evening and came back to the parking lot, and it was raining. And there was something that was heavy on my mind, and I can't remember for the life of me what it was. But I knew I needed something. Jim was one of those guys who had known the Lord for a while. He was just in his 20s, but he seemed like he was much older in his relationship with God. And so, for the first time, I asked somebody to pray for me. Because, see, Jim had that connection with God through prayer that I did not have at the time. So Jesus spoke to our Heavenly Father for me. See, Jim knew how to unite with God in prayer. Friends, we're all on a journey with God, especially as it pertains to prayer. And Jesus, the great teacher, shares with his disciples then, and all of us today, how to pray. Jesus, like himself, wants us to incorporate prayer into the very fabric of our lives. And if you're intentional during this prayer challenge month to learn and to put in practice what Jesus teaches you, I know your prayer life will take on an added dimension. You'll be experiencing a drawing near to God the Father that maybe you haven't experienced in a long time, or maybe never. But you have to be intentional. Intentional. Now, in learning to do anything, sometimes we need to learn what not to do. What not to do. For instance, if I was teaching you how to hammer a nail into a board, I might tell you first what not to do. I might say, don't take a full swing at that nail the first time. I might say, don't put your thumb on top of the nail then. Now, that might seem like a no-brainer, but sometimes we need to hear those things. I might say, hold the nail gently, if it's long enough, between your fingers. And instead of taking a full swing, choke up on the hammer and set the nail in the board, tapping it in. And then you can then you can take a bigger swing. Well, you see, Jesus does the same thing with prayer. He begins by telling us what not to do. Maybe what was the prevailing way of prayer during the day. Read it with me. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words." So Jesus begins by telling us two unacceptable ways to pray. First, when you pray, it's not about being seen, which seems to be the case for the leaders of that day, who wanted to look pious and holy. "Oh, Lord God, thank you for helping me to be holy and clean, not like those sinners over there." And you know what Jesus calls them? He calls them hypocrites. And hypocrites are simply people who want to show themselves to others in one way, but are really hiding who they are. In fact, Jesus goes on to say for us to go into a place where we cannot be seen by others. "And there meet with your Father who is in heaven, who will see you." Now, this is not to say that we're not to pray in public at all. There have been times when I've met with somebody on the street and we're talking and there's a concern that they have or something they're dealing with. And I'll pray for them right there. Yeah, I'll pray for them right there. But I'll just gently put my hand on their shoulder and just pray quietly between the two of us, not drawing attention to ourselves. In fact, my first experience of public prayer was when a friend and I were going up to Cleveland, Chuck, and we pulled into McDonald's and we met his parents who had their grandchildren there. And so we got our food and we sat down to eat together, and I opened my Big Mac. And then Chuck's dad says, "Let's pray." And I'm like, "Here? Others are going to see us here?" I mean, this is going on inside. Of course, on the outside, I'm like, "Oh, absolutely." But it was just an odd feeling to pray publicly like that for food. Who prays for food? Well, we should all be praying for our food. Secondly, when you pray, it's not about the many words you say, Jesus, or as Jesus says, babbling like pagans. As your Father in heaven already knows what you need. But that's not to say we shouldn't ask. But it's not that we need to babble on and on and on. So Jesus is saying we shouldn't make a spectacle of ourselves and babble on and on, seeking to draw attention to ourselves when we pray. No, what Jesus does say is this. Read it with me. "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Now, it's important to note here, when Jesus is teaching on prayer in Matthew, he says, "This then is how you should pray." As though this is a model for prayer. Not necessarily exactly what you should pray word for word. When I was working down at the Detroit Renaissance Center for about 5 years in Detroit, I took the smart bus in. So I had about a 40, 45 minute ride every morning. And as I was learning about prayer one summer, I began to use the Lord's Prayer as a model for how I should pray. I mean, when we say the Lord's Prayer, we can usually say it somewhere in about 45 to 60 seconds. But when you use it as a model, when you use it as a model, there is no 3 to 5 minute prayer and then you're done. Got that done. I could easily spend the entire 40 or 45 minutes talking with God. And it really began to open up my prayer life. from a listing of wants or needs to so much more, something more fulfilling, a more intimate time with God. Don't we want an intimate time with God? Now, this is not to say that we don't use these words for our prayer. In Luke 11, Jesus says, when you pray, say, and then list the Lord's Prayer. So it's not that we can't say these words and be our prayer. But in Matthew, as he's teaching on prayer, it's a model. When you look at the Lord's Prayer as a model, a representation of how we should pray, Jesus begins with these words, our Father in heaven. Jesus has us beginning by addressing who we are talking to, our Father. It's not that we need to get God's attention. God's always watching us. Yeah, using Father gives us a sense of the position of God, that person we are communicating with. The Father in that time was the head of the household. The Father is to be looked up and respected within the family. Yet I know it's unfortunate some struggle with God as Father because of the poor experiences that they have had with their own Father in life. There is no way God the Father could be loving. My Father was never loving, never showed me the time of day, treated me like I didn't exist, don't speak until you're spoken to. And because of these and arguably worse experiences, we don't want to pray to any Father. But you see, Jesus died that we might have a repaired relationship with our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father. The veil in the temple was torn in two when Jesus died, showing us that we have direct access to our Heavenly Father. No longer needing to go through a priest or a sacrificial system. Now, it's important to understand that God the Father is neither male nor female. God is gender neutral. And both male and female are fully created in God's image. In Jesus' day, though, the culture was heavily male-driven, what we call patriarchal. The male was the head of the family. And what Jesus was doing was establishing, using the terms of the day, terms that we could understand, that God is the head, the leader of all. When I pray to God, I choose to use the same terms that Jesus used. Our Father in heaven. But I also keep in mind that God the Father is a spirit being and will reveal himself fully to me when I get to heaven. Until then, until I know God more fully, until I can use the words that God has to describe himself, I will stick with the terms that Jesus gives me. But I try to be sensitive to those who have had bad experiences with the male gender in this life. It's also important to remember that God is our Father, which makes us all, what? Brothers and sisters in Christ. We are all children of God. We all have the same ability to connect with the Father. No one has a better ability to connect with the Father. I certainly don't, simply because I'm a pastor. But we all have the same capacity to connect with God through prayer. Our Father. So Jesus teaches us to call him Father who is in heaven. In heaven. There is one who is called the Father too. He's called the Father of lies. But this Father is seeking to destroy, prowling the earth to look at whom he can devour. So Jesus differentiates between that Father who roams on the earth to the Father in heaven. By giving us the location, by telling us to pray specifically to our Father in heaven, there is no doubt who we are talking with. And most importantly, in this first section of prayer, Jesus tells us, after identifying who we are speaking to, our Father in heaven, to then begin to worship our Father in heaven. Hallowed, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. A name that is set apart. A name above all other names. In your bulletin, there's this sheet of the names and the attributes of God to use as you begin your prayer time with God. On the colored side, you have three columns. The left is God the Father. The middle is God the Son. The right is God the Holy Spirit. You can call on God using these names. You can worship God using these names. Worship and adore God, who is the Creator, Redeemer, one who saves, counsels, gives direction in our lives. If you look at that left column, you could open up your eyes in the morning, take this off the nightstand and say, I worship you, God. I adore you, God. The God Most High, the God who sees me, my Almighty God, a God who is everlasting, I worship you. You are the Holy One of Israel. You are the Lord Adonai. You're my provider, my healer, the banner that I fly over my life. Your presence is with me. You sanctify or purify me from all unrighteousness. Your peace reigns in my life. You can see how you could go down that list, just claiming or naming God, worshiping the name of God. But it takes practice. But it takes practice. Oswald Chambers says, prayer is an effort of the will. We know we should, but it's an effort of the will. And therefore, this week's challenge is to spend 3 to 5 minutes each day at the beginning of your day or at the end of your day and begin your prayer time with God, naming God and worshiping God. Holy, holy is your name. Don't pray when you feel like it, Corrie ten Boom says. Have an appointment with the Lord and keep it. So figure out a time during your day, whether it's waking up in the morning and pulling this off your nightstand and just beginning to say, God, I worship you. Holy is your name. You who provide. You who are the breath of life. The dew from heaven. The pillar of fire that leads me. And continue to just use these words, which are the names and attributes of God. Spend time with God, maybe as you awake. My Father who resides in heaven, holy is your name. You are my provider who gives me all I need. I worship you. I adore you. I lift you up in my life. Well, it's easy enough to give you the challenge, but what I want to do is I want you to practice that challenge now. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to simply play a song. And I want you to take time now to just take that sheet. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Could you go to the next screen, Jim? And then you'll need to toggle back and forth between the last two screens. I love you, Lord. Now, don't look at me. Look at your sheet and begin to worship God, and then I'll let you know when you can join me. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, we just come before you now with hearts open to you, worshiping you and praising your holy name. And God, we ask as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would draw us closer to yourself. That you would cause us to hear your still small voice. And God, we ask in Jesus' name that as we prepare our hearts, as we prepare our whole being to commune with you through the elements of bread and juice, Lord, that you would show us maybe places where we have gone astray this week, places where we have not been very holy, places where others might look at us and say, you hypocrite. And God, we take the stillness of this time as you are revealing those things to us. And we confess them to you now. Take this moment now just to confess any known sin or disobedience to God or disobedience to others. Confess those now to God who is in heaven. Almighty God, your word says that when we confess our sin, that you will forgive us our sins. That you will purify us from all of our sins. That you make us as white as snow. You clean us. The psalmist says, Lord, that as far as the east is from the west, you remember our sin no more. And so, God, we claim that in Jesus' name, that you have cleansed us and purified us from all unrighteousness. And God, we receive your forgiveness in Jesus Christ's holy and precious name. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. It's good to be clean, isn't it?